Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26. I have been made aware several times that Tennessee will be playing this afternoon. So you don't have to worry about the time because I want to watch that too, all right? It is good to see you. Since we're getting close to Easter, what I wanted to do is to go back and look at some events leading up to Easter. And so today we're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen to the scripture in Matthew 26, and let's begin in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took them with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, listen to this now, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went to the Father and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." One of the key takeaways that I have in this message today is this, that the benefits of doing the will of God are really greater than any cost on our part in doing the will of God. This was Thursday night. It was late Thursday night, early a.m. Friday morning, on the Friday that Jesus would be crucified. This event here in the life of Jesus took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. They had just finished the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, in the Sea of Jerusalem. So they had walked out of the city now. They had crossed the Kidron Valley, and they came to a slope on the Mount of Olives, and located there was this private garden that someone owned. This was a place that the Bible says Jesus would go to often and pray. I've often thought about, you know, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," if this was the same location. Judas knew where Jesus would be in his time of prayer. So they were familiar with this place, and this was a place of prayer. Now, what I want to point out to you here is the will of God. Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus was the substitute for our sins. This is the atonement of one dying on the cross for your sin and my sin. Jesus is that substitute. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross, according to 1 Corinthians 15, for our sins. Peter says he bore our sins in his own body on the cross. So here in the garden that night, a few hours before he would be crucified on the cross, the reality of what's going to happen has set in. Here in this garden, first of all, what I want you to see is the seeking of God's will. When you face that moment of crisis, when you face that moment of decision, when you face that moment of choice, first of all, the truth is this. There is always the seeking of God's will. And so what Jesus is doing here is seeking the Father's will. Listen to me now. Jesus is not afraid to die. Jesus is not trying to get out of the will of the Father. But what Jesus is doing here in the Garden of Gethsemane is yielding himself to the will of the Father. When Jesus was 12 years old, where was he? They found him in the temple. And you know what he said? I must be about my Father's will. All through his life, he was concerned about doing the will of the Father. You know what Jesus told us in the model prayer? Jesus said this, we are to pray for not our will, but for thy will to be done. The benefits of doing God's will are really greater than any cost it may take. And so here what Jesus is doing in this night before crucifixion, he is seeking the Father's will. Now did you notice here in the passage, the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed three times about the same thing. And you know what that was? That was doing the Father's will. If it was important for Jesus to pray about the will of the Father, then it's important for us to pray about the will of God. And so here he is, he's seeking the Father's will. And what you've got to understand here about Jesus at this point is his humanity. He was divine. He was 100% God, but yet he was human. He knew what he would be facing. The Bible says that in John that he knew what was ahead, so he knows all things. So he knew about the spitting in his face. He knew about the being whipped with the cords. He knew about the crown of thorns. He knew about all that. He knew about the mocking. He knew what was going to happen. So in his physical body, in his human body, here's what he's saying. God, Father, if there could be another way, then let's do that. But there was no other way. There was only one way, and that was for the perfect, sinless Son of God to die on the cross for our sins. So he's yielding here to the will of the Father. He's seeking the Father's will. But also there's a second point here that I want to make. In that critical moment, in that situation that we face, not only is there the seeking of God's will, but there is the struggling of God's will. It always involves a struggle. The opposition against Jesus that night in the garden was the opposition from Satan. Now understand this. Satan, the devil, did not want Jesus to die on the cross. If there was anything he could do to prevent him from going to the cross, that's what he would do. In the very early life of Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, do you remember he went to the wilderness? And in the wilderness, the devil tempted him three times. And every time Jesus answered him with the word of God. Here, he's facing the same temptation. And what does he do here? Three times, he prays. And so we learn a lesson here that in our struggle, we turn to the word of God and we turn to prayer. That's how we make it through the struggle. Now, listen to what I'm saying. If you've never experienced pain in your life and a struggle and doing the will of God, there may be something missing in your life. There's always a struggle in doing the will of God. You see, if it was easy in our moment of decision, and our moment of temptation, and our moment of crises, and our moment of choice, it was always easy to do the will of God, then everybody would do it. But it's not the easy way to go, but it is the best way to go. And so just think about Jesus here in this moment. The Bible tells us that he was at the point of death even before the cross. Listen to verse 38 in Matthew. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. You know what Luke tells us? Mark, Luke, Matthew, all of them talk about this account. Luke says this, that the pressure was so great that when Jesus prayed, that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Folks, the struggle is real. The reality of the struggle and doing the will of God, it's real. It can be painful. It can be costly, but it is the way to go. It is the best way to go. So Jesus is dealing with that here. You see, here's what we learn from this. My private struggle and your private struggle is one in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sooner or later, we all go to Gethsemane. Because we want the will of God. We desire the will of God. We seek the will of God. But what we've got to understand is there will be a struggle. There will be a battle. But it is the best way to go. Jesus knew what he had to do. Now, what was his struggle? What Jesus prayed for was for this cup to be removed. What is the cup? The cup is sin. When he drank that cup, he drank the sins of all the world. It is brokenness in that cup, sorrow in that cup, disappointment in that cup. Father, would be any other way, if there's any other way, then let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Doing the will of God, there's always the seeking, wanting to do the right thing. Secondly, there'll always be the struggle. And then third, it is a place of surrender. Jesus yielded to the will of the Father. He surrendered to the will of God. He says it here, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That is the place of surrender where God wants us to be. That is the surrender that we all need. Now, we can't do it on our own. We can't get to this place of surrender on our own. So how did Jesus get there? In his time of temptation, in his time of crises, in this very difficult time, how did he get there to that place of surrender? He got there through prayer. You know what a prayer of surrender is? It's this. God, I may not understand it. Lord, I don't know why this has happened. Lord, I don't know why I'm facing this difficulty, but your will be done. See, what he's saying here is this. I'm going to leave the outcome to the Father. That's what a prayer of surrender is all about. I had told Chris earlier, I said, I've got a poem here about prayer, and a good Scottish, Brit needs to read it, because it's written in that way. And I don't know if you've ever heard this prayer, but let me share this prayer with you. I hope you see the humor in it. This is the prayer of Cyrus Brown. This little poem about prayer was written by a man named Sam Walter Frost in the late 1800s. And so you had all these big theologians and preachers and everybody together, and they're talking about prayer. Listen to the poem. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and wrapped and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contently bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Brown. Now here's Farmer Brown. Last year I fell in Hodgins Well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a sticking up and my head a peeling down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the plainest prayer I ever prayed, a standing on my head. I like that. Our prayers don't have to be fancy. They don't have to have a lot of big words in them. You know, it's not that tone of prayer that we get in. But I like this right here because it says it so simply. It's just conversation with God. And sharing a heart with God. And letting Him know what we're facing. Letting Him know the struggle. And it's this, you know, so beautifully given here. How do we get there? How do we get to that place of God's will? It is through the prayer of surrender. Now, it's not easy to get there, but that's where we need to be. I don't know what your prayer of surrender needs to be, but that's where you need to be. That's where I need to be. Is to come to this place of surrender. John Calvin said it this way. I can't say it this way, but I like it. Here's what he said about it. This place of surrender is what we're talking about, but here's what he said. We renounce the guidance of our own affections and submit ourselves internally to God, leaving Him to govern us and to dispose of our life according to His will, so that the afflictions which are the bitterest and most severe to our nature become sweet to us because they proceed from Him. Now that's a theologian's way of talking about what the prayer of surrender is. You know why the prayer of surrender is so difficult? One reason is because it goes against our nature. We're not really people of surrender. It goes against the flesh. The prayer of surrender in your life and my life is the same as it was for Jesus, and it's simply this. I'm not going to do my will, but I'm going to do the Father's will. And so that place of surrender is when I make that decision that rather than do what I want to do, that I'm going to do the will of the Father. Now you understand, you know, Satan, you know, we're in a battle. That's why we have a struggle. And so this prayer of surrender is simply saying this: I surrender to God your will, nothing more, nothing less. I was reading in Isaiah, and I came across this verse that I've written down here, and it's Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. And I thought about that verse because, see, when Jesus prayed for the cup to be removed, Jesus was praying to the Father for the Father's will. The cup was not removed. Jesus had to drink the cup because that was the plan of God for your salvation and my salvation. But what you see here is this. What He did do, what the Father did, was to give Jesus the strength to make it through this time of temptation and difficulty in His life. What's the lesson? In seeking God's will, in going through the struggle of God's will, in coming to this place of surrender, you know how we get there? Through prayer. See, the power and strength is not in the prayer. It's in God. But the way we tap that strength, the way we get that power The way we make it through the difficulty is through prayer, just like Jesus did. In the gospel story of this account, the Bible tells us that during this time in the garden, that the pressure became so great on Jesus that God sent an angel into the garden to minister to him. You see, in the garden, Jesus was not nailed to the cross, but in the garden is where the victory on the cross was won. Because here he's accepting the will of the Father. Mentally, he's accepting what's going to happen. Emotionally, spiritually, in the garden is where he's accepting what's going to happen on the cross. And then on the cross is where the physical pain and torture took place. I'm asking you today, what is your place of surrender? You're seeking, it's a struggle, but where's that place of surrender you need to be? That place of surrender, that prayer of surrender, is where we just say, God, you know what's best. You know what's best for me. I surrender my will to you. The Bible tells us in Peter that it is God's will for no one to perish, but all come to repentance. That is God's will. God's will is that people be saved. And so if you need to make that decision, I would encourage you to do that today. Come and trust Him. That's what's going on here. He's dying for our sins. The way we have salvation is through Christ. But also as a believer, don't give up in the seeking. Don't give up in the time of struggle. But I would encourage you to come to that place of surrender. Why? Because the benefit of doing that far outweighs any cost. Is there a cost in following Christ? You better believe it. What Jesus said, take up this cross and follow me. There's a cost involved in that. But it's always the best place to be in the center of God's will. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you for this truth that we've talked about today. I pray today that in this truth of Gethsemane, that we would see Jesus Christ as our substitute. This is our atonement for sin. The person of Jesus Christ who came not only as God, but as man. The struggle here in the Garden of Gethsemane is a human struggle. The Lord Jesus experienced human pain as we do. He experienced human suffering as we do. A lot of times, the will of God takes us out of our comfort zone. This took Jesus to a place of suffering. Father, today, we know the will of God is always best. We know sometimes the will of God takes us out of our comfort zone. But because of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ here, we see the way of victory. We see the way of seeking. We see the way of struggle. We see the way of surrender. And that is the pathway of the cross. We thank you for that today. We thank you for this great example that you've given us. One reason you wanted Peter, James, and John to go with you into the garden was to teach them a lesson, to give them an example of how to overcome temptation. Lord, through this message today, we've been in the garden with you, in that most sacred, private place. Lord, help us to learn the lesson of the Garden of Gethsemane. Help us to understand the seeking, the struggle, and the surrender. In your name we pray. Amen.